Let's get out our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 as we continue through this book. And of course, last time together, if you were here, you know that what we're going to talk about tonight already, right? We're going to talk about your job. Or the lack thereof, maybe. Because I think it's important that as Christians we understand our role when it comes to being an employee and our role, listen, when it comes to being an employer. You know what I love about God's Word? It addresses every issue. You don't have to scratch your head and go, gee, I wonder what God might want to do. Well, we've looked at what God wants us to do as what a Spirit-filled Christian looks like, right? They're singing, they're praising, they're worshiping the Lord, they're submitted one to another in the fear of God, right? They're awake to what's going on spiritually in this world, and we see things quickly heading down the prophetic road to ushering in, I believe, the soon return of Jesus Christ. So we need to be filled with the Spirit, and part of that mark is the singing and the submitting one to another in the fear of God. Then he talked to the wives, and he says, hey, here's how to have harmony in your homes. You want harmony in your homes? Ladies, listen, you need to submit totally, fittingly, and respectfully to your husband, okay? And that was pretty simple, right? Not a lot of stuff to do, just those things, okay? So he hasn't made it tough for you in the sense of actually remembering what it is that you're to do. Not easy, because you need to be filled with the Spirit for that to be accomplished, you see. And then husbands, you're to love your wife unconditionally, sacrificially, with an eye to purity, nourishingly, cherishingly, and permanently. And as Christ loved the church, of course, in his love for the church never did anything for his own comfort and benefit, but did everything he did that he might bless and care for and sacrificially demonstrate love to the church. And then, of course, he looked at children and again, simple words to children, obey and honor your parents. That's all. Just obey them. Why? Because it's right, not because it makes sense. Okay, it doesn't make sense sometimes. I don't know why they'd ask me to do it. It doesn't make sense. But there's going to be stuff in the future that God's going to ask you to do that at the time may not make sense. But guess what? You'll look back and go, man, God, you're so smart. You knew exactly what you were doing. And so obey them. It's right. And honor them. Bring honor to them. Live in such a way that brings honor to the name of your mother and father. You know, it's my prayer that I continually live in such a way that, when the Davenport name is mentioned, that it's mentioned with, you know what? Those are good people. They love God. They're godly people. And that's what we want. That's what God wants for our lives. And if we're going to, you know, we need to honor our parents in that way and bring honor to their name. And then, of course, we saw parents, don't tick your children off. Don't just provoke them, exasperate them, and make, you know, unreasonable demands and petty rules and show favoritism, but bring them up and nourish them and admonish them and encourage them and to get behind and find out what it is that God has gifted them to do. You remember last time together, and not what you want them to do. Well, certainly God's gifted them just like he's gifted me in the same way. And since I was a quarterback, they're going to be a quarterback. I know they play piano. And I know they don't like, you know, football. But they need to do it because... No. You need to find out what it is that God has for them and ask God prayerfully, seeking him to show you their gifts and the areas where they are called, and then encourage them in those things and not discourage them by putting your things on them, you see. And so that brings us to our text tonight in verse 5. Where Paul now starts talking to a bondservant in the New King James. And it reads like this. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So there it is. I mean, it's laid out pretty clearly there, pretty easily to understand, not complex. I do like the paraphrase version, and it is a paraphrase. It's not a translation, but the guy by the name of Eugene Peterson catches kind of the heart of the thing and puts it in more modern language. And I want you to listen to it out of a paraphrase, a Bible called The Message. It says, "Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work there in a way that you have a smile on your face. In other words, a good attitude. And keep in mind that you are obeying Jesus Christ in that working." It says, who happens to be giving, it says, "And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you are really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of whether you are a slave or free. Masters, it's the same with you. No abuse, please, and no threats. You and your servants are both under the same master in heaven. He makes no distinction between you and them." So there it is. Pretty clear, isn't it? How we are to work and how we are to treat those who work for us. This message, of course, is, as we look rather at the text tonight, it's talking about harmony, not only in the home, as we've seen, but harmony in the workplace. And the message is about your job, a place that really many of us may never see you in full function. Many of us may never go to your place of employment, may never see what you do for a living. And yet, it's there that God has called you daily to serve. Listen, most of you will never engage in the sense of full-time pulpit ministry or pastoral ministry in that capacity. Most of you will work the remainder of your life here on a planet Earth, engaged in a job that, well, honestly, is fairly routine. And there are times where as you do that job, you can begin to think that, well, this is a waste. This isn't really significant. This isn't really important. Yes, it is. You know why? It's because you're where God has placed you. And he says servants here, or slaves in the King James. He says, obey your masters. Sort of the same thing, is it not, that he said to the children with their parents. What Paul is doing is recognizing that there is a chain of command, if you would, in the kingdom of God. Bond servants here in the New King James, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. You see, what Paul is telling us is as we're out there in the workaday world, you have a boss. Some bosses make you feel like a slave. Paul here uses the word bond servants. That means that you're willingly serving. Oh, hopefully you are, right? Hopefully you are in that job. I gotta go. I don't want to do this job. I hate this job. You know what? If you're doing that, tune in tonight. Listen very, very closely. Because you see, what we are looking at here is just our attitude towards work. I'm not the shop steward. I'm not talking about the union. This is not a union talk. This is the talk to those who are believers in Jesus Christ. What we see here and sense is that there is to be a willingness among God's people who are involved in the workaday world to go out there and do a good job. He says, obey your masters. They're watching. When you say, I'm a Christian, they're watching what a Christian is and how a Christian works and the attitude that a Christian has towards work. You never know. Have you ever seen that program, Undercover Boss? They cruise in. They're disguised. And they just work among their employees. It often results in a change on both sides. You see, Paul is saying for us as believers, if we are filled with the Spirit of God, listen, our attitude should not be like those in the world. Why? Because we work with different motivation. We have a different value system that they than they have. We don't work, listen to this, we don't work just for the dollar. Okay? Why are you working? Make money. I want to win the lottery so I never have to work again. Listen, if you won the lottery and you're a Christian, guess what? You can't quit your job. What do you mean I can't quit my job? Well, because you'd be in sin. What do you mean I'd be in sin? Because 1 Thessalonians says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't what? Are you willing to give up food? If you win the lotto and you don't want food, then okay. You see, our reason for working is entirely different than the world. And that's why Paul is saying here, you be obedient. No, I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care what your ideas are. I don't care what a fairness and this isn't fair. Well, that's not fair. And I'm saying it may not be fair. Okay. I'm willing to acknowledge that. And so is Paul here. He's not asking you to assess the capacity or the ability of your boss to properly execute his job and authority. What he is saying here is, listen, here let's make it easy. Be obedient to your boss. Okay? Yeah, but what if be obedient unless if he asks you to do something that's unscriptural? Like kill somebody, probably, that's probably, then you don't have to obey, okay? If he tells you to go, punch somebody in the mouth and steal his wallet, don't have to do that, okay? Because it's clearly against God's word. But if he's asking you to do stuff that isn't clearly against God's word, even though to you it doesn't make sense, guess what? You just simply do what he's told you to do. These are masters according to the flesh. Because, you see, Paul wants us to realize that we're limited. These masters are limited in their control, in their authority. What's the limit? The flesh. Just the here and now, this day, their masters according to the flesh. Listen, obey them. Submit to them. How? Well, we read on here. He says, with what? Fear and trembling in sincerity of heart. In fear, honoring them, reverence. That's another translation of that word. Not like, don't hit me. You know, I mean, not that kind of fear. Not letting them intimidate you. You see, but with a reverence, hey, guess what? They're in the position, and so I'm going to respect what they say with fear, a reverence for them. And with trembling. What's that mean? Humility. Humility. Doesn't mean, again, that you're going, I'm going to work. You know, I mean, that's crazy. You'd be a loony bin, you know, in the loony bin before long. But with a reverence for them, hey, this is their job. They've been here. It's not been given to me. It's been given to them. And a humility like, you may like think you know better than they know what to do. And in fact, you may know better than they know what to do. But that's not your deal. Okay? You just humble yourself and just say, you know what? That's not my position, not my call. It's their call. So I'm going to do what they've told me to do because that's their call. Sometimes that's not easy. Been a long time with the company. You start saying, this guy's an idiot. You know, humility, humility. Sincerity with honesty. With honesty, simplicity and uprightness and singleness of heart. In other words, you know what? You need to be one who, when the boss says something, you just say, you're a can-do, I can get it done type of person. Not the kind of person that says, well, I don't know if we can do that. Well, I don't know if we can do that. I don't think we can do that. I think that's too much. Hey, listen, I'll try and make it happen, boss. I'll do the best I can. We'll get it done for you. And step up and figure out how to get it done. You know how many people around there, I don't know if we can do that. Let's have a meeting. Let's meet with the committee and we'll get five guys to discuss why we might not be able to do that. And you know what? That's a frustrating kind of a relationship and often leads to problems. Be a can-do, gal. We'll do the best that we can to get this done. That sincerity of heart as to Christ. Here's the key. You're not working for your boss. You're not working for your boss in the flesh. You know what boss you're working for, if you would? You're working for Jesus. Would he give you something that's unreasonable for you to do? Would he give you something that he hasn't given you the ability and wisdom and the strength to do? If you do the best you can do what he's asked you to do, filled with his spirit and move ahead and just do the best. Hey, listen. He'll give you the wisdom you need. Sometimes, I don't know if I can do that. You know, no, forget I don't know if I can do that. You know what? God, give me wisdom to figure out how I can do that. Because the boss has given me a situation where, you know what? Listen, with my own wisdom, I don't know how we're going to get it done. But you know what? I'm not going to talk to him about that. What I'm going to do is talk to you about give me wisdom to get it done. And to get it done rightly. And to get it done, to the best of my ability. Why? Because I'm serving Jesus, you see. An employer can buy your time. He can buy your physical presence at a certain location. Even a number of skilled muscular motions per hour or day. But he can't buy your initiative, your loyalty, nor your devotion of heart. You see, for us as Christians, we do what we're doing for the Lord. not with eye service, he says here, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Are you catching the drift here? It's all about your heart. Is your heart in it? Or are you just doing it? Is there passion? Or are you just going through the motion? Are you serving Jesus? Or are you just biding your time to get to the clock to punch out? You see, so important to look here at the attitude, not with eye service. Not doing it because they're watching.
Because all the bigwigs are coming down from, you know, to check through the store, you know. So we got to really get busy.
You know what? If you're doing your job as unto the Lord and doing it rightly, you never have to worry about getting busy when the bigwigs are coming down, because you're always doing the best of your ability to keep your department, to keep that store, to keep whatever it is up to snuff and caught up and running properly. There's not this, you know, final exam cram. Because that's the way you work, you see. It's a story of a retired man who became interested in the construction of an addition to a shopping mall. And so he would go down and observe the activity regularly. And he was very impressed by one conscientious operator of a large piece of equipment. The day finally came when the friend had a chance to tell this man how much he enjoyed watching his attentiveness to detail and how skillfully he operated this piece of equipment. And looking kind of amazed, the operator said, "You mean you're not the supervisor?" See, all the time the guy was doing a brilliant job because he thought he was the supervisor, but he wasn't, just an observer. Listen, Jesus is always observing and watching, and you never know who's watching. You shouldn't be doing your work just simply to please men at the sacrifice of principle. We should be doing it to please God, that we might glorify Him. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all giving thanks to God the Father in Christ Jesus." Whatever you do in word, whatever you do in deed, I think that pretty much covers it all. Do all to glorify God with goodwill, wholeheartedly. You don't have to wait to be compelled into action or pushed into action. You're a can-do, go-getter, get it. Hey, I see something that needs to be done. Here, I'm over here. They've asked me to do this, but now I'm done with that. And on the way back, you know, to do something else, I see something else that needs done, so I go do that. And I, you know what? I'm not sitting there like leaning on the thing, just, you know, "That shelf needs to be cleaned, that shelf," and barking out orders, you know, and going, "Yeah, that's not my job, not my shift." You know what? As long as you're there, man, guess what? Get her done. Get done what you can. It's that kind of attitude. You see, the bottom line is precious people, you are in ministry full time. Did you know that? Every one of you is in full-time ministry. The tragedy many times, often in the church, is, "Well, I got my secular job where I, you know, go every day and punch a clock. Then I got my service for Jesus, my spiritual job." And we have them in two different compartments in our lives. I got my church face, I got my work face, then I got my home face. I got my attitude at church, my smile, I got my cranky, grumbling, kind of authoritarian, Nazi attitude at home. "We're going to get it done." And then I got my I hate this job. Grumping, moaning, and groaning. Stinking job. I got to go again at work. Listen, I hope you don't come to church with that attitude. Just think if you brought your like work attitude into church. I got to go to stinking church and sit in this stinking pew and listen to that stupid pastor preach. I hate that. I'll be so glad when this is over. If you have that attitude, man, I'm praying for you. I'm amazed that you're here, and you probably need to ask God to change or go. You know, I mean, really. And you know, if your job, if that's your attitude, guess what? You probably need to go. You're a bad witness, and you're doing a bad job. And man, that's no good. And you, it's not only messing up and not bringing glory to God when your employer and your fellow workers watch you. But guess what, man? It is stressing you out because your attitude stinks. And man, you're not going to be blessed there. And you're going to be bummed out there. And everything that you're doing, you're not doing as heartily as unto the Lord. So everything you're doing, yeah, you got your reward. You got your paycheck. But you have no reward in heaven. Because you're just working. You see, Paul's intention here in recording these words is for us to understand the job that we have. And listen, I care not if it's in a classroom or an operating room, or ladies, listen, in the laundry room or the conference room. I don't care where the job is. That's your pulpit. How's your sermon? What are you preaching? What are you preaching? How's it look if I came here every day? All right, get out your Bibles and turn to stinking Ephesians 6. I hate stuff that's going on today and some stuff in the church. And so anyhow, you guys there? Let's pray. God help us. I mean, you guys would go, I don't think I'm coming back here. Or if when I taught, it's obvious this guy didn't spend a minute in studying. He has no outline. He has no clue where he's going. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's talking about at all. What he says has nothing to do with the text in front of us. I don't know where he made this stuff up. You just go, he just makes it up. Just gets up there, tells a bunch of stories, talks about the scripture. I have no idea how it applies or anything. Or when I was preaching, and I preach one message and my entire life is lived in complete contradiction. Would there be any power in the pulpit? No. Would you be blessed? No. Well, guess what? Your job is your pulpit. How's the sermon going? Is there power in the message? Or is the extent of your Christianity pretty much, well, I wear this Christian shirt and I have this cross that I got tattooed on me. And so that's my witness, you know. I got a cross tattooed and I'm wearing a cross and they're giving me a hard time. But I'm wearing a cross because I want them to see that I'm a Christian, man. If that's what it takes for them to see you're a Christian, guess what? You're way, way, way out of line when it comes to what Paul is talking about right here. Zig Ziglar said, every job is a self-portrait of the person who did it. How's the picture? Are you a man of integrity? Is your attitude one that brings God glory? Is the quality of your work that which is impeccable and truly the absolute best every day, every minute you're there of your ability as a sacrifice, living and doing it because Jesus is watching, not because the boss is watching or anything else. But Lord, I want to do a good job here. You see, I'm praising God with my plumbing. I'm out there doing it, man. That's what it ought to be, people, because you see, if you're truly doing everything as unto the Lord, then you're doing it for the Lord, and thus you're doing a great job. And guess what? The bottom line is God is your provider, right? I mean, yeah, you're getting a paycheck. That's fine. But ultimately, who is the one that is going to take care of your needs? God. And work is what you do because you're to be obedient to the Lord, because the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And that is your pulpit, and that is your a place of glorifying God, you see, and giving opportunity for them people to see what a Christian looks like, what a spirit-filled life is all about, and sense the integrity and the honesty and the way that you do your job. Listen, God promotes, doesn't he? You don't promote yourself. You can't make that promotion happen for yourself, really. God ultimately is in control. And when you do your job, and whether the boss is around or not, and you do it for the glory of God, you think the Lord lets your labor go unnoticed? He pays attention. That's what the writer of Hebrews tells us. God will not let your labor of love go without reward. His timing. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from who? It comes from the Lord. And guess what? The reality is who's in control of your boss? Pastor, he's not a Christian. I don't care. Well, you're saying the Lord's in control? Yeah. Yeah. All authority that is, you know what? God is the one that has ordained the authorities that are, the powers that be, the authorities that are, hasn't he? And that's the place where you preach. And your sermon needs to reflect Christ. I look at Daniel. Think about Daniel. What a guy, huh? Had a hard attitude. At one point he was said, hey, you guys need to start eating more of the spicy food and this rich food. The king wants you to look a little better. And Daniel, with very respectfully, and he went before the authority there that set down the order and said, listen, I, with all due respect, sir, I would request that we don't eat the stuff from the king's table. We eat just vegetables and that kind of a thing. And then, you know, give it a week or so. And if we look worse for the wear, then great. But if not, then let us continue. Because the diet, you know, was unscriptural, what the king wanted him to eat. So respectfully, he dealt with that. And, of course, the guy came back. And in a week, they were looking better than the rest, right? Daniel eventually, you know, I mean, because of his obedience, gets promoted through the ranks, ultimately. As he gets promoted, because he's a man of integrity, works hard, faithful, trustworthy. It's like Joseph. What happens as a result? Well, what can happen as a result with you? What happened? Jealousy set in because he got promotions and the other guys didn't get the same promotions. And so these other guys were jealous that Daniel was getting the promotions, but Daniel wasn't working, trying to get the promotions. He was just doing what God called him to do. A man of integrity. A man who was trustworthy. A man who did a good job. And did it to the best of his ability. Faithful. When the jealousy set in, interesting. I wonder if this happened to you or me, and the jealousy set in. There were people that he was working with that set plotted against him. We want to take this guy down. So guess what, man? We're going to plant spies all over the place. See if we can't catch him up or find fault somewhere. You know the story. There was only one fault they found. What was that? That the guy prayed regularly to God. Would to God that that'd be the only fault they found in me. And so they decided to get to him with that. You see, if somebody was looking for a fault in you, if there were some people at your job that were seeking to find fault, how would it go? Could they find it? What would they be? Those are the things that you and I need to call and say, God, this is wrong. I need to change it up here. Whether it's in my attitude, whether it's in my activity, whether it's in the way I'm conducting business, you see, important that we are men, that we are women of integrity, doing all for God's glory. It says in verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from who? The Lord, whether he is slave or free. Sometimes you can feel like a slave.
Said, they're not going to treat me like a slave anymore. I'm going to make sure I get right treatment.
No, that's God's job. Just do what's right. Just do what's right, because the Lord is the one that's going to bless you. That's what he's saying. You receive blessing from God. Again, God is taking notes. God pays attention. The next thing we see here is now not only how an employee is to deal with their employer, but we see God addressing the other side. Talking now to employers. Maybe you're a business owner. You're an employer. You got people working for you. So how am I supposed to treat them? Well, he says right here. And you masters, that's you bosses, business owners, do the same things to them. There we go. So go back over what you just read. All the things you just read, you're doing it all for the Lord. Consider them, operate in honesty and fairness and integrity, and be generous and take good care of your employees. Remembering that God is the one who is going to bless the business, who is going to take care of you, and that the promotion, the business grows, if you would, by way of you coming to the Lord and looking to Him and trusting Him for the provision and doing the best you can and asking Him for wisdom. Do the same things to them. Giving up, what's the temptation when you're the boss? What's the temptation? Threaten. Some guys, man, I've worked for guys. You ever worked for somebody like that? They rule by intimidation. There are guys out there that just constantly, you know what, you don't do this, you're going to get fired. You don't do this, you're going to get fired. You don't do this, you're going to get fired. And they're constantly, you want to lose your job? They're constantly threat after threat after threat after threat. And that's the way they run their company. You know what God's saying for Christians? That ought not to be. That's not the way we're to deal with people. Why? Knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You got a master in heaven. And guess what? He deals with people fairly. No partiality. He deals with people fairly. He deals with people graciously. He is generous. kind and caring. I look at again the way Jesus dealt with the disciples, and when they didn't get it, he didn't go off on them. That's it. You guys are all fired, you flakes. Get out of here. Like, you know, put on his Donald Trump wig. You're fired, you know. You don't see him doing any of that stuff. When they flaked out, when they failed, he came alongside and cared for them and encouraged them. And you know what? That's something that as an employer, hey, listen, I don't want to do that, man. That's not the way it's done in the real world. Listen, you're not in the real world in the sense you're a Christian. And listen, has God been gracious to you? Yeah. Now, is there a time where if you continue to ignore him, consequence will come? Yes. So if you got an employee that's got problems that you have problems with, and you graciously sit down and talk to them and warn them and say, hey, listen, you know, this has become a problem because, you know, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And if the guy's always late every day, he's late every day. And then what happens is the rest of the people start getting late. So you it's not like you can't you don't need to deal with this, but you need to do it respectfully, lovingly, not, you know, come here, stupid, come here. You know, and you kind of go off on him in front. You know how many times you were late this week? You know what I do to people that are late? Listen, you got one more chance, dude, and you're out of here. That's not the way you deal with them. There's an employee. You take them aside. You talk to them. You ask them, hey, what's going on? I notice you've been late several times. You know what? You may find out that there's some radical thing going on in their lives that is a problem. And you have an opportunity for ministry. You have an opportunity there to be gracious to them and help them. Say, well, you know what? Then let me tweak your hours a bit here and deal with the situation. Maybe there's some kind of crazy health issue that maybe one of their kids or somebody's going through, and so you've got the opportunity to kind of tweak it, and you can mess with their schedule a little bit to better accommodate them and to help them work through this season, this difficulty in their life. And you know what? You know, people get a boss like that. Guess what? They'll do anything for you if you're that kind of a boss, man. This guy cares about me. I'm not just a number to him. I'm not just, just a body that does a job. He really cares about me. He cares about his employees. That goes a long ways by way of running a good and a productive company. We need to be careful that you don't show partiality over one person to the next. That can create problems in the job, you know, a situation. And so, God's warning us here as to how to be good masters and saying pay attention to this, because you see, your value system is different. And really what this all comes down to is whether you're an employee or whether you're an employer, it's all about attitude, right attitude. Did you catch that? Doing is unto the Lord. And the best effort you can give it. Doing your best, giving it your best. Man, giving the boss the full 8 hours and be the best employee. Again, I've said this before, but here's what I pray for our church. I pray for this for Christians in general, because you know what? Tragically, many times, the case is, I've talked to employers that said, I don't want to hire one of the Christians. You know what? Because they expect to be, you know, preferential treatment. They expect to get away with things and you to do things for God's sake. And you know what? They're flaky. They sit around talking about Jesus when they're supposed to be working. I don't want to hire any more of those people. They're on the phone talking to people about Jesus and counseling people on the phone when they're supposed to be on the phone dealing with the problems and the situations going on here at work and serving the people. And you know what? That's kind of like, and they do it like with Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And if you're one of those kind of employees, you need to repent. It's It's a sin issue. When you're on the boss's time, you're not talking, unless he's paying you to talk about Jesus, guess what? You're not talking about Jesus. You're doing your job. You're showing him Jesus. Because see, the thing is, you don't have to talk because they see Jesus in the way that you walk. Then they'll want to know about your talk. So many times people talk it, but they don't walk it. And it's my prayer for this church and Christians corporately, generally, it's my prayer that this church, that people will go, you know what? If there's somebody from Calvary Chapel of the High Desert that's applying to do a job at your company, hire them. Those people are hardworking, trustworthy, have a great attitude, awesome integrity. And you know what? They live differently than anybody I've ever had work for me. That's the way it ought to be. That people would just go, find somebody from Calvary Chapel. If you're looking for a good employee, somebody that you want, find Calvary Chapel of the High Desert, man. If there's somebody from that church, man, hire them. Get them in there quick. Because they are awesome workers. Their God is like Daniel. His God is the God. Because he walked the talk, you see. Not what we wear that shows Christ. Not our jewelry or tattoos. It's what they see by way of honesty and integrity and love and attitude and godly activity, obedience, submission to those in authority, that God might be glorified. You see, that's what a spirit-filled boss looks like. That's what a spirit-filled employee looks like. Yeah, but man, Pastor, you know what you're telling me to do? It's hard. It is hard. Can I suggest it's harder than hard? It's impossible. Yeah, I don't know if I can do it. You can. But guess what? He can. You see, you need strength to do this job, to be this kind of Christian, to have this kind of testimony. Where do I get it? Well, the next verse. Finally, brethren, be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of His might. You're going to have to be praying. You're going to have to be on your knees. You're going to have to be before the throne of God. God, help me. God, let me lay hold of the strength that you've provided for me, because I can do this. How do I know that? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His strength is there. He's the one that gives me the strength. The power is there. Any power that I need to do this, man, to have the right attitude, to be engaged and be a man and a woman of integrity with a can-do kind of a thing. God, you have already supplied me with what I need to do this. But it's not going to be easy. A battle will ensue. And when the battle comes, you need to be ready. Because you can't win this battle in your own strength and with your own ability. Because it's a spiritual battle. Well, Pastor, how do I win that? How do I deal with this battle? Where's it coming from? What's it all about? We're going to look at that next time. Not this time. But you want to win, don't you? You want to do well. You want to succeed. God hasn't left us to wander, wonder, how it is, and to wander around trying to figure out on our own with kind of trial and error. Well, I'll see if this gun works. Maybe that gun works. You know, I don't know. This is, you know, is this a taser or is this a laser? I'm not sure how it works, you know. We're in a battle and God has given us weapons and we need to know what those are and how to use them that we may experience what God intends for us, which is victory. And so He's given us what we need. And we're going to look at that next time and find out what this battle is, where it's coming from, how it is that we are to fight it, that we may wage a battle where we can move ahead and lay claim to areas and things that before have been areas where the enemy has had reign. God wants us to break through those barriers and experience victory. Let's pray.